I'm very happy, brothers and sisters, to be privileged to share this wonderful conference with you. And I've enjoyed the music immensely in all sessions and the talks of my brethren. And in your presence this day, I'd like to humbly express my love for my Father in heaven and for his Son who gave his atoning sacrifice for us, and for his gospel that gives us such a wonderful pattern of life to live by and such hope for the eternities when our work here upon this earth is completed. And I would like to express my love for the saints as we travel through the church and in the missions and the mission home and feel the faith of the people. We thank God for the great outpouring of his Spirit is causing the great growth and development of the church throughout the world today. And I thank him for our noble leadership and Brother Kimball and his counselors. I love them, and the people love them because they are truly our Father's servants. Now, I thought today that I'd like to more or less direct what I have to say to the parents who have lost children in death before they had reached maturity and thus entered into the covenants of marriage and known their own families here upon this earth. I reckon that there aren't many families who haven't had that experience. I think of the thousands of our boys who've lost their lives on the battlefield of their various countries. I think of many of our boys who died in the mission field. While I was president of the Netherlands mission, I held one of those wonderful missionaries in my arms as he passed on to eternal glory. I think of the many wonderful, faithful women who never have an opportunity to marry here in mortality because they're not willing to give their lives away on men who are not worthy to take them to the celestial kingdom. And many of them have filled missions and worked diligently for the upbuilding of our Father's kingdom, for the raising of the youth of Zion, and they're wonderful. I'd like to use as an illustration of what I have in mind my own family. Mother and I were filling a mission together over in Holland when we had a little girl born to us, and after we'd been home a few years, she passed away. When she was born, my wife has told me over and over again that she felt she saw an angel bring that spirit to her, and yet she's gone. Then I think of her four sisters. You voted today here to sustain one of them as one of the presidency of the Relief Society of the entire church. Her other three sisters are just as noble and wonderful, although they may have just a little different talents than the one that's gone. Then I think of this little one that we laid away when she was 3.5 years old. And I thank God that I have the faith to believe that God reigns in the heavens above and in the earth beneath, and that this little one will ultimately enter into her glory and be equal to any of her four sisters who've tarried here upon this earth and raised their families. I thank God for the statement of the Apostle Paul when he said that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It wouldn't be possible for God in the brief time of mortality to accomplish for all of his children all that he has in mind for them, the ones that are true and faithful. I think of the statement of Moses as recorded in the doctrine in the Pearl of Great Price, for this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and the eternal life of man. I wonder sometimes if we ever stop to analyze that statement, I think we could all understand what to bring to pass immortality is, that we'll never die after we come forth in the resurrection, as Brother Romney pointed out this morning. But what about eternal life? As I've interpreted that, I find in that the feeling that all that God has ultimately planned for his children who are faithful and true shall come to them in his own due time. We read in the Book of Mormon that we're not all born at the same time, and that doesn't matter, and we don't all die at the same time. Then I think of the words of Abraham when he saw the placing of the spirits here upon this earth, and there'd be the Lord would prove them to see if they would do all things whatsoever he had commanded them. And then he adds, and those who are faithful in their first estate shall be added upon. That's in our spirit life before we came into mortality. And those that are faithful in their second estate shall have glory added upon their heads forever and forever. This little girl of ours kept her second estate as far as she could at her age. And then I think of the statement of the Lord to the prophet Joseph Smith when he said, the works and the designs and purposes of God cannot be frustrated, neither can they come to naught. In other words, no one can stand in the way of God achieving what he has decreed for his children. And then the further purpose statement in the Doctrine and Covenants where the Lord said, his purposes fail not, neither are there any who can stay his hand. From eternity to eternity, he is the same. Then I think of the words of the Lord through the prophet Nephi when he said, for my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man, neither from that time henceforth and forever. Now, if that doesn't comprehend in our minds to realize that there'll never be a time when God can cease to do his work to bring to pass, as we read in the Pearl of Great Price, that they'll have glory added upon their heads forever and forever. Now, coming back to the family, we had four daughters before we got a boy, and he grew into beautiful young manhood, and we lost him in an accident down at the beach in California while I was preparing the stake there. He just turning 16. He stood as tall as his father, and to think now of his own brothers who are here, they have their families. One of them just been serving as one of the regional representatives of the 12. I can't believe that that boy will come out any less exalted in the eternities that are to come than his brothers who've lived here in mortality. When he died, the principal of the high school came to our home, and he was not a member of the church, and he told Sister Richards that was the best boy he'd ever had in his school. And we felt that, too, as he grew into manhood. Then I think of our little granddaughter, the same age, and her father and mother are here today, and her brothers and her sister. And after just a few days of sickness, she passed away at the age of 16, a beautiful little woman. To think that God's plan but not ultimately bring to her everything that other children receive who tarry here in mortality would lessen my appreciation of my Father in heaven and the perfectness of his plan. I think of the little parable that Jesus gave when he said, which man among you intending to build a tower sitteth not first down and figure the cost, lest he commence to build, and he hath not wherewith to finish, and his friends mock him. If God started to bring to pass the immortality and the eternal life of man, and he didn't provide an opportunity to complete that program, he'd be like the builder who starts to build and then not able to finish. Coming back again to the family, I think of my wife's sister who died here a short time ago. She filled her mission for the church. She worked in the auxiliaries, and she was a noble character, but she never married, and I can't believe that the Lord's plan is imperfect, that she'll not ultimately enjoy all that her sister, my wife, with her wonderful family, has enjoyed. The purposes of God fail not, neither are there any who can stay his hand. So I thank God for the great 1,000 years of the millennial reign. You see, I'm getting old and it begins to slip. 1,000 year of the millennial reign. My, what a lot of work needs to be done during that period. I can't take time to tell you much about it, but I think of the words of Isaiah. He got a glimpse of it. He saw the day when we'd have a new heaven and a new earth, when the lamb and the lion would lie down together, when the lion would eat straw like the ox, and they should build houses and inhabit them, and they should plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. They should not build that another should inhabit. They should not plant that another should eat. For every man would enjoy the works of his own hands. And then he adds, and they are the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. That sounds like a continuation of the family, doesn't it? Then I thank God for the statement of the Apostle Paul when he said that the man is not without the woman, neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. And that being true, the Lord must have a plan where these children can ultimately enjoy that great blessing. Now I want to read you a little statement now of the Lord regarding this millennial reign. He said, and there shall be no sorrow, because there shall be no death. In that day, an infant shall not die until he is old, and his life shall be as the age of a tree. And when he dies, he shall not sleep, that is to say, in the earth, but shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and shall be cut up, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, he's to live to the age of a tree, and then he's to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I want to read you one more statement of the Lord, the prophet Joseph. And the earth shall be given unto them for an inheritance, and they shall multiply and wax strong, and they can't multiply unless they have that relationship of husband and wife. And then he said, and their children shall grow up without sin unto salvation, for the Lord shall be in their midst, and his glory shall be upon them, and he will be their king and their lawgiver. Then I think of the statement and the revelation to those who will inherit the celestial kingdom. And the Lord said, which glory shall be a fullness and a continuation of the seeds forever. And so I expect someday to see the bride that my son has selected over there in the spirit world, if he can find one as noble as his little niece that I referred to, my granddaughter. Just think what a glorious day when that will come about. And in order to properly understand it, may I close in just reading a couple of statements, one from President Brigham Young about what shall happen during the millennium, and one from President Wilford Woodruff. President Young said, to accomplish this work, there will have to be not only one temple, but thousands of them. And thousands and tens of thousands of men and women will go into those temples and officiate for people who have lived as far back as the Lord shall reveal. Just think, if there are going to be thousands and tens of thousands of temples, it'll give you a little idea of what the King, what the Lord has in store for these spirits who have to have their temple work done. And then the prophet Wilford Woodruff adds, when the Savior comes, 1,000 years will be devoted to this work of redemption, and temples will appear all over this land of Joseph, North and South America, and also in Europe and elsewhere. So I close my remarks today with my faith that the Lord knows what he's doing, and he has prepared a plan that those that have gone from us will not suffer. Therefore, I close with the words of the Apostle Paul, who was caught up into the third heaven, the paradise of God, and he saw things he was not permitted to write, but he did say, for eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's my faith in my God, and I leave you my blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.